Wilson with 16 to shoot. Kicks to Harris now. Nobody wants to take it. Coleman lands. Back to Harris. Harris to drive. Gets to OG. Shoots a three. He got it! He got it again! Otai Abaji with 6 seconds to go. Shannon for the win. Misses.
Wow.
Rebound Coleman lands at the buzzer. No good. And a second overtime is coming. One dribble. Bends at the knee, shoots with the right hand.
He got it.
And KU goes up three with 10 seconds to go. Here comes McCullough. Up the floor, Wilson. They were trying to foul. Ahead to Shannon. Throws up a three. Misses. Rebound Harris. And KU's going to win it. Cardiac Kansas does it again. Another last second win for your Kansas Jayhawks.
We have talked before, ladies and gentlemen, about how some of us fans are spoiled rotten, right? Chiefs fans right now, spoiled rotten. But there is a play-by-play broadcaster in this country right now that is spoiled beyond belief and rotten. And that is Brian Haney, who continues to have these unbelievable games to call almost every single night and two classics since we last spoke. My man, you are living the dream, and you are, and I say this with all due and respect, spoiled.
Yeah, I think we referenced this last week when it was just Iowa State and Oklahoma with the last second shots.
Yeah.
That you try to have, you hope to have one of those per season, but to have two in a 1 week, 8 day stretch was amazing. And then you come back and Ochai Agbaji hits the game winner with 7 seconds to go at K State after a furious comeback from down 17 early in the second half, and then Agbaji with the amazing shot at the end of the first overtime to force a second OT and ultimately escape against a really good 13th-ranked Texas Tech team. To have four of those in your last five games where there was some kind of final shot, either to win it or to force overtime in the last 11 seconds or shorter, is something I've never seen anywhere I've been. And in talking to KU people that go back a lot farther than I do, we can't recall a stretch like this. So it's been amazing not just to be in all these tight games, but to come out victorious in them in really dramatic fashion. It is borderline being spoiled, no doubt. And certainly we as Kansas basketball fans are spoiled in general to be this good every year and to be in the mix for a one seed every year, to have a National Player of the Year candidate every few years, and now three more McDonald's All-Americans announced earlier this week. So there's a lot to be grateful for and to feel a little bit spoiled for, no doubt.
No question. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Let's go back to Saturday first, the Sunflower Showdown, where K-State just flat out couldn't miss in the first half. Played tremendous. Nigel Pack was just absolutely on fire. And, of course, there was lots of emotions after the game. It gave me chills just hearing Coach Self in the locker room talking to the kids after the game, because you don't see that kind of emotion from Coach Self a lot. I'm sure you've seen it more than most. But just for that KU team and that type of game, and considering everything that Coach Self had been through and the emotions leading up to the game, and then to get down by 17 points, come back, and then win like they did, it's just – it is a remarkable comeback in performance against a team that, quite frankly, played very well.
Yeah, that was the best road comeback for Kansas in the Big 12 era. And, we always feel like Kansas has a chance. You never write them off unless you get under 8 minutes and you're still down by 15 or 16. But the thing about it was they trimmed 11 off the gap in the first 5 minutes of the second half, and suddenly it was a whole new ball game. And K-State had a couple of runs that pushed it back to 10 or 11, but it wasn't one of those deals where it was a slow crawl or a slow climb back in the game. They came out of that locker room like gangbusters, and the whole second half just wanted it more. And eventually shots started to miss. K-State wasn't going to maintain 60% shooting throughout the game, and Nigel Pack, though he hit a big three to start the half, in the second half, kind of cooled a little bit after that. But I've not seen a Kansas team with that type of intensity, want to, as Roy Williams used to say, just a will to want it more than the competition. I've not seen that in years. And, it was unspoken. It's not like there was something big that was said amongst the guys, but they did not want to let their head coach lose just, 24 hours after losing his father. And so such an emotional emotional day. Bill Self looks to the heavens as soon as the final second, you know, crawls off the clock, and pretty special to be able to witness that firsthand, see his players rally for him, and not just rally within the game, but pull forth the greatest efforts of exertion and just desire and intensity. Honestly, the types of attributes and staples of the Bill Self era, and who do you think put those staples in him? His dad.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Self Sr. was the one that taught him about, you know, intensity and toughness and all these things that are the benchmarks of what he's built in 19 seasons at Kansas. So the CKU display all those as well as we've seen in a fashion that helps you beat your rival on the road. That's pretty storybook stuff right there, quite frankly. And then Ochai Agbaji, you know, ends up having a career high 29 that day, a career high he would better 2 days later by 8. But you know, he really started to add to his case as a first team All American, National Player of the Year, and then obviously what followed on Monday night probably puts him in the driver's seat for both. So that was awesome to see, and total team effort there in Manhattan. I mean, they're plus 22 on the glass, 15 rebounds out of McCormick, a double-double out of Jalen Wilson. When they're dominating on a board like that, and those two are playing to their capabilities, this is absolutely a Final Four team that maybe could win it all. And that's something we've talked about is, you know, how do you bottle that up from D-Mac and from Jalen? But, man, that was fun to watch, and certainly – you know, the way the team responded on Monday night on such short rest, such a quick turnaround, makes you almost as impressed. Maybe just as impressed, considering that the game was 50 minutes and some guys played 46, 47 minutes and left it all out there. But those two contests back-to-back sure showed us a lot about this team.
Certainly did. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118th North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. So let's jump to Monday, where it was a battle between Texas Tech and KU. KU had a 12-point lead, I think, with about 6.5 minutes to play. Had an 8-point lead with 5 minutes to play. And I think what's really interesting to me, before we get to the Ochai shot that tied the game in overtime and went to double overtime, and KU eventually prevailed 94-91. You know, I was, you know, obviously a lot of people are enamored, and especially KU fans, on what Remy Martin is going to do. And I thought Remy definitely gave him a spark and played, you know, pretty well against Texas Tech. In fact, Harris and Martin were on the floor at the same time. He left with 5:04 to play, and KU was up 8. And then KU, of course, you know, couldn't hold on to that lead. And then Martin never did come back in the game in the overtimes either. And Coach Self said afterward, well, who am I going to take out to put Martin in for? Which is a fair point, because clearly he trusts, you know, Harris, and he trusts those five starters right now, including Jalen Wilson. But what about the development of Remy Martin now getting healthier, to where you were talking about, well, Wilson and McCormick dominant on the glass, you get those guys going, this team's scary. I'll take it a step further. If Remy Martin and DeJuan Harris at times can play on the floor together, like we saw a little bit the other night, that makes this team even scarier as well, because you can just go with so many different combinations and matchups that Bill Self has at his disposal.
Yeah, it's exciting to see them offensively when that's the case. Defensively, it's a liability, and
right,
it's a major one, and that's why you didn't see Remy on the floor late. And it's not just that he's a liability. I mean, DeJuan, Bill Self has said, is KU's best on-ball defender because he has quick hands and he's able to make tips and deflections and steals. But to be frank, he's not great at stopping dribble penetration. And against bigger physical guards like Tech has, at times, you know, that can be an issue. Now, he did a much better job in the second go-round versus Tech than he did down in Lubbock, and he's making strides in that regard. But when you give up that much size and you have two guys that also struggle to stop dribble penetration, that's not, you know, a great formula for winning basketball. And at this point, you know, Bill Self just, you know, flat out crunch time is going to go with the guys he trusts the most on the defensive end. I agree with you. I thought Remy gave them a tremendous spark earlier in the game with the burst and explosiveness he showed, which was as good as we've seen it all year. He looked fully back, healthy, you know, no ill effects of the bone bruise in the knee. He looked happy. He looked engaged. He looked, you know, absolutely like the dynamo that we thought we were getting from Arizona State. But there's still things that you know, he needs to evolve and grow on the other end of the floor at, that's going to allow him to be more, you know, trusted in that circle of trust, so to speak, in those late-game crunch-time minutes. And when Tech was going off offensively in the midst of that run and had these bigger wings and guards scoring at will, putting in a 5'11", you know, 165-pound guy that struggles to stop the ball, you know, wasn't going to be something that Bill Self thought was advantageous for his team. And so, yes, it was extended, you know, to see him watch the last 16 minutes of the game, you know, including the two overtimes, far beyond what any of us expected. And there were a couple times, if you listen to the broadcast, I referenced it out loud, Greg, wow, we haven't seen Remy still. But when you go back and look at it and you see the run that Tech was on and the emphasis that Kansas was trying to place defensively, I mean, think about it. Bill Self used six different guys in trying to stop Bryson Williams and finally settled on K.J. Adams, who had the biggest contributions of his KU career down the stretch. And so it was one of those deals where he was prioritizing defense to the nth degree, and Remy just, you know, right now doesn't bring that in a, you know, crunch time, trustworthy type way. So I'm still super high on Remy. I told you last week on these reports that, you know, there's going to be one or two games this year the rest of the way where it's the Remy Martin game where he takes over and does something that without it we wouldn't have won. And I think we saw the first few strides toward that on Monday night. We just can't get too swept up in the fact that he didn't play late because Bill Self still trusts him, still wants him as a key part in this. He just doesn't right now completely trust him in those, you know, late game crunch time scenarios when all the momentum's on the other side and suddenly defense is the most important thing he got going.
You mentioned KJ Adams. I wanted to get to that. I was watching the game, and when Bill went with Adams, Adams is just quicker than McCormick, more athletic than McCormick and Lightfoot, and then he had the assignment of going up against Williams. And I don't remember how many points Williams scored in the overtimes, but it wasn't very many. I remember Williams banked in a three-pointer, which that was pure luck, and Adams was guarding him. But what about Adams stepping up? He got a tip in. He got a couple of – he tipped out a key loose ball on a rebound attempt, got a few rebounds. What about his defense and the fact that the freshman was ready for that big moment? Lightfoot had the three fouls in the first half, and he was guarding Bryson Williams.
Yeah, I think it's the type of performance that – talk about circle of trust. Yeah. I mean, that definitely earns him future minutes in those types of spots where you've got a, you know, 6'6 to 6'10 type player, whether it's a small forward, a power forward, or a center. He has positional versatility to guard those types of guys. He's not like Marcus Garrett, who could guard 1 through 5. I wouldn't put him to that degree yet, but on a small forward, maybe a shooting guard. I mean, KJ is only 6'7". People forget he's so built, and then his hair's so tall, it looks like he's taller than he actually is. Yeah. But he's 6'7", and the thing about him is he's just got the best motor, I think, of anybody on our team. And so while his offensive game is still raw in terms of post moves or his jump shot or things like that, he plays at such a high-intensity level. He's bouncy, he's energetic, and then he's really well-built. I've told you before, I think he's the most well put together true freshman, you know, in terms of how he looked when he arrived on campus since Thomas Robinson. And so you add all that up, and you can see why he would be a real pest to throw at a guy like Bryson Williams, who was having the game of his life at that point. So great to see, you know, him earn some quality minutes and then thrive within them, because that's going to do loads for his confidence. And he's, on top of that, he's an outstanding young man. Love talking to this kid. He's humble, hardworking, appreciative, loves being here. And you know, some of these guys that come in, top 50 freshmen, they don't play a lot right away. You know, you develop a, you know, I deserve better than this type attitude. He and Zach Clements could not be better with their outlook just on, you know, how positive, you know, they are despite a lack of minutes and how appreciative they are, you know, to get any playing time their first year on such a talented team. And so I'm really impressed with both those guys. But for KJ in particular, I think there was one national writer that tweeted out, KJ Adams, buy stock now, ! Because he was about to see his stock soar. So thrilled for him. And, you know, like I said, we're watching some guys start to emerge here, which means not necessarily that the rotation expands, but that Bill Self has some weaponry he can turn to in specific situations. And I think that's key to note, because it's not like his performance the other night guarantees he's going to play 16 minutes a game now. Let's be clear, this was a 50-minute game, and that was special circumstances. But you better believe the next time they're in that spot, that's the guy Bill Self's turning to, and he's proven more than capable to deliver.
Well, and you know, the key word you mentioned throughout all of this is trust. And coaches, you know, they might trust their players – you know, in some kind of rotation pattern, like we see the first, half of a basketball game, or it might be that way if you comfortably are up by double digits or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to, you know, crunch time, and we're talking the game could go one way or the other with one play, whether it's early in overtime or late in regulation, coaches are going to go with the five players that they trust. It's as simple as that. Even if those five players have played the entire game, it's like, okay, you know, get a breather here during this timeout. I'm going with the guys that got me here. I'm going with the guys that I trust the most. And it is tough, I think, for guys that are on the bench if they don't get those opportunities to fully be able to be trusted, because maybe they don't get the opportunity. But at the same time, that goes back to practices, doesn't it? That you've got to earn the playing time through practices, and thus if you get the playing time from practice and playing well in games, you will get your opportunity to earn the coach's trust. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, something that has been building for a while, I think, for KJ. You think about it, you know, Zach Clements has been hurt. We've seen David have a much more positive contribution in league play, but things at that five spot have been a little bit up and down for a while. And you saw KJ get his first start a couple of weeks back at the end of the first week of league play, and so that the trust factor in him has been climbing for a while, in part because he consistently brings it in practice every day. And again, it doesn't mean he's lighting guys up offensively with outstanding post moves and jump shots. It's just all-out effort. And that's the one constant in basketball that you can bring regardless of who you're up against or where you're at. You know, jump shooting doesn't necessarily travel. By that I mean you can't guarantee that you're going to shoot it as well tomorrow as you did today, but intensity and effort always will. And I think KJ's been climbing fast in that regard, because that's something he brings every single day to the practice floor.
No, it's funny. My son Miller, as you call him, I've talked to him. Yeah. He comes off the bench, and I've had a couple of conversations with him. And I said, "Hey, you know, this is your role. I mean, I'm sure you know every kid wants to start. If you have competitive nature, all the guys for KU want to start. If you don't, you wonder about that competitive spirit, right? But at the same time, you want to do what's best for the team, so you either accept or embrace your role. And one of the biggest things with any basketball team at the Division I level with KU or high school or junior high or traveling basketball, whatever it might be, is that the kids coming off the bench, whether it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 player rotation, is you're not going to play as many minutes. But when you go out there, you should be probably dead tired when you come out. You should leave everything on the floor, be aggressive, and control your effort is what you just said earlier. That's the one thing you can control, is how hard you play. Hopefully you play smart. You might not play smart on a particular play, but as long as you play hard, the coach will give you more leeway, won't he?
Absolutely, and especially a Hall of Fame coach like Bill Self, who, as we talked about earlier, his staples are intensity, toughness, you know, all these factors that you know, make players like Darnell Jackson a national champion, who wasn't, you know, a McDonald's All-American. He was top 50, top 60, but he was that bring your lunch pail to work each day type guy, and look what he turned into. And the same can be said about a dozen guys over the course of 19 years under Bill Self, as he molds and transforms these guys into much bigger stars than what they were, just based on the sheer work ethic, the toughness, the intensity. Ochai Agbaji has quickly become that. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was ranked 312th when KU received his commitment. And I just saw a mock draft yesterday, Wade, where he's currently projected as the 11th pick in the NBA draft this summer. I mean, how incredible is that? So yeah, you know, if you can bring the intensity and the effort every day, Coach Self can work with that, and he'll do wonders with, you know, what you leave as compared to what you showed up as, if you give him that type of buy-in and intensity each day.
Yeah, you play hard, give good effort, you got a better chance of playing. And then the other thing, too, is people get caught up in points and statistics all the time and look at points. Well, KU's good enough offensively to where they've got guys that can score. You know, it's if everybody on a KU team, their strength was shooting the basketball, this team would be in trouble. KJ Adams fits that role, plays defense, provides the energy, as you mentioned. You talked about Wilson and McCormick have got to do a better job rebounding. They have recently. Everybody's got their strengths, and you want a mix of all that, because if you have just one team with everybody's got the same strength, you're in big trouble. KU wins in double overtime over Texas Tech. Ochai with that shot to send it in double overtime was pretty amazing, and he lined it up perfectly, and I think that's part of that Allen Fieldhouse magic as well. We've seen it 1,000 times, and we might see more of it coming up on Saturday, Brian, because, hey, what do you know? All these great close games, and now Kentucky comes to town, part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Kentucky coming in ranked 12th, KU ranked 5th. I hear the tickets for this game are through the roof when it comes to trying to buy a ticket. If you want to get in, if you're not a season ticket holder, your quick overview of Kentucky and they come to town should be a good one on Saturday.
Well, there's a lot of guys you got to worry about, but to me, Oscar Tshiebwe, the former West Virginia star, is number one with a bullet. Ty Washington's a freshman on this team that Kansas recruited that picked Kentucky in the end. He's a projected lottery pick, too. But to me, Tshiebwe, who we saw dominate at times at West Virginia and then transferred midseason last year to Kentucky, he's coming in averaging 16-15 and shooting 60%. He's been outstanding. So Kansas will certainly have their hands full with him. And David McCormick, who he played prep ball with going way back in the day, they know each other well. That's going to be a huge matchup, you know, that determines the outcome of this game as much as anything. Now, there's a ton of other matchups that is important, but that one's going to tell the tale in a big way. And it's not just that David's responsibility to contain Tshiebwe. It's going to take a total team effort, but seeing those two old friends go back and forth, it's a major opportunity for David to prove that he belongs in the conversation of one of the better big men in the country. I'm not saying he's elite, but this was a preseason all-league player in the Big 12. He leads the nation in offensive rebounding. This is his chance on a big stage to show, you know, that he's worthy of all that type of hype. And so can't wait to see what they do, and can't wait to see how the Kansas wings do with the athleticism on the wing that Kentucky will bring. All that, you know, factors into this as well. And, of course, two Hall of Fame head coaches on the sidelines that have national championship history back and forth against each other. 08, KU wins over Memphis and Coach Cal. 2012, Coach Cal and Kentucky beat Kansas. And so exciting to see what this go-around will look like. And it's going to be a fun couple of days, starting at 5 p.m. on Friday. If you come out to the front lawn of Allen Fieldhouse, got a special tent set up already. There's going to be basketball courts in there, and free Wendy's Frosties, fries, Baconators,
wow,
all from Wendy's. They're calling it Friday, F-R-Y,
like it,
D-A-Y. And that'll be the same setup on Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. for folks to come out early for the College Game Day show. So just really neat with all they have brewing, and hopefully they'll back it up with a big win on Saturday night.
That'd be great. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. I'm going to set this up for you. So the other day I'm calling the broadcast, and my son's playing. And I mentioned this a couple times this week, and the only reason I bring this up is because it's just so weird how it all lined up. Beloit was playing Sacred Heart, and my son hit a three-pointer that tied the game at 13-13, and I looked down, and it was his 13th made three-pointer of the year. So 13-13, 13-3, tied it at 13. A lot of people think 13's an unlucky number. My wife was born on the 13th day of a month. She says, that's a lucky number. And I said, no, honey, I'm the lucky one. Yeah, see how I do that? So my question to you, and by the way, here's another crazy thing. Last night, Miller told me this. He said, you know, Kobe Bryant was 2 years ago yesterday that he passed away. Do you know what the Lakers' record is right now? Do you know what the L.A. Lakers' record is right now?
No.
24-24.
Oh, how about that?
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So I'm talking about.
It's not 13-13.
No, it's not. No, so the 13's aligned in a high school game the other night. The 24's aligned with the passing of Kobe Bryant 2 years ago yesterday. Lakers are 24-24. So the question to you, Brian Haney, is what is your favorite or lucky number? I asked Brian Smoller this yesterday at K-State. He said it's 4. My wife says 13. I would imagine Chris Mack, the head coach of Louisville men's basketball team, his favorite number is 133,333, because that's what he's going to be paid every single month until January of 2025, after he and Louisville had a separation agreement yesterday to agree on him not being the head coach anymore, which I got in the wrong profession by not being able to be successful enough. I have to be really good to get to that point, but then not good enough to keep my job, but yet get paid a lot of money for the next 3 years. So what is your favorite or lucky number, Brian Haney?
Well, similar to your wife's, you know, birthday and all that, I'm born on June the 3rd, so number 3 has always been my lucky number. And, you know, Babe Ruth wore that, Allen Iverson wore that, Dwayne Wade. There have been some great Jayhawks that have worn that over the years, including from my childhood, downtown Terry Brown.
Oh, yeah.
So number 3 has always been my lucky number. And, you know, I'll take that to the grave since it started at birth. But that's definitely my number 1.
I like it. Hey, man, like I said, you've been spoiled rotten. I hope you're spoiled even more coming up on Saturday. Have a great call. KU, Kentucky, thanks for the time. Talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, one of the best in the business, and we appreciate him every single Thursday. Brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.